This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
we welcome to the bunker a very longtime friend of ours, Al Murray, the assistant general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Your Lightning won last night, Al.
How about that?
Hockey is the toughest sport for the top team to win the championship. Because we really have had high expectations for about 5 years now. We've been to one Stanley Cup final. We've been to two other Eastern Conference finals. And I think that's the expectation of everybody in the organization. And anything less than Stanley Cup will be disappointing for us this year.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. And to you Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the RP Show. That's Darren DuPont fixing his hair, the co-host, and I'm RP, the host of the program. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well.
I find that people are in a real googly mood today.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
It was a little pinball all over the place.
Here, and also in our Facebook Live feed, and the Prairie Mobile text line's going to be humming here. Everybody's jovial. They're punchy. Maybe because we come in ringing the bell. We have a Stanley Cup champion. Right in the intro, you heard from our good friend Al Murray, the head scout of the Tampa Bay Lightning, after a very long, as a matter of fact, lifelong pursuit for him personally. And the Tampa Bay Lightning franchise since 04, they finally won another Stanley Cup. It's Al's first. That's exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah, so a lot of hockey talk today. We're going to delve into some football talk. We're going to do our very level best to keep it on the rails with sports. Yesterday, it was very clear that it was kind of a personal day for me, of struggling with the fact that sports doesn't seem to matter to a lot of people in society, but we're not going to spend as much time going down that road. Although I will say it was a hot button topic. Hey?
Oh, yeah.
People had a lot of thoughts on it.
Big time. Big time. It's such a hot button issue, and you know, the conversation's not going to stop when the mics go off. It's going to continue, and it continued throughout the afternoon.
All right, so let's go. Here are our guests today. The Grim Reaper is going to be joining us from Smashville, Nashville, COVID City. We've got breaking news today, by the way. There's been an outbreak of COVID with your Tennessee Titans.
I know.
So we'll come back around on that. That is so new that I didn't have it in my quick six show topics, which I'm getting to. But the Grim Reaper will join us to talk about a variety of things. Y'all know him, and most of us love him. It's going to be a fun chat. From Carlisle, Saskatchewan, two NHL-playing defensemen. Hayden Fleury of the Carolina Hurricanes, Cale Fleury of the Montreal Canadiens are going to join us on a Zoom call. But it's going to look better than your normal Zoom calls, I'll tell you that. That's coming up in hour two. You want to know what life in the bubble was like? They're going to tell us. And also, it's Blue Jays game day. Jim Lang will be joining us. He's Canada's foremost expert on the National Football League, but he's a Toronto sportscaster. He's got a take on the Jays, so that's all coming up today. Now, let's roll with the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. Hit it. Nice. Number one, Tampa Bay wins the Stanley Cup. Obviously, 2-0 over the Dallas Stars last night. There was no suspense in the game. They had control of the Stars all night long. And I'm watching and going, if you could control the Stars this much, why didn't you do it all? Why didn't you just sweep them?
I know.
You know, they didn't even give Dallas a chance last night, which is fine. But the only suspense for me was what was going to happen when they handed out the cup. Gary Bettman and our close personal friend Phil Pritchard. And also Craig Campbell from the Hockey Hall of Fame, who I think was the one carting it out there with Phil last night. The presentation was very cool.
It was really, really cool. You know, I thought they pulled it off really well. I thought, you know, Tampa did something neat by all coming around the cup before they presented it.
Yeah.
Almost for like that photo opportunity, and that was kind of cool. Little disappointed they didn't pipe in any boos for Gary Bettman. I thought they would have.
And the music was a little weird.
And the music was really weird. They were playing like Fall Out Boy and Pump Up. Like, I'm like, this. You had me. Like, every time the Stanley Cup is handed out,
I paid my dues.
Exactly. I get tears in my eyes.
Time after time.
Every time. And it's happening again. You get choked up, you know, thinking of all the stories and the guys who have, you know, waited a long time to get the cup. And then it's bump, 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 bump in the background. I'm like,
sounded like Disney.
It's something like you needed to go above and beyond. I thought the soundtrack was bad, but overall it was.
Other
really
than that, it was a win. I was waiting to hear Queen, and yes. I didn't hear Queen. Point two, it's Blue Jays playoff game day. I said, for as long as the Blue Jays are alive, I'm going to be wearing this Take October bunny hug in honor of the Toronto Blue Jays or any other Blue Jays paraphernalia, but I'm kind of favoring this. Let's hope they play into October.
Yeah.
Point three, Monday Night Football. Patrick Mahomes has proven it was a wise decision to make him, like the whole payroll's him on that team, $45 million. And he proved it. They went into Baltimore and had their way with the Ravens 34-20. In a game I didn't watch a snap of. However, ESPN2 was replaying it this morning, so I watched most of it.
Yeah.
Point four, dunk news. You know Canadian football news runs on Duncan. And he said yesterday that a new CFL commissioner is being talked about. And that he just dropped that bomb and, like, walked away. We didn't really delve into that. So I want to do that a little today.
Sure.
Not the least of which here in the warm-up segment. Point five, NBA Finals, Heat versus Lakers. Still wondering if anybody really cares. With Stanley Cup over, I'll probably will be watching. To be honest.
A little bit, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just not, doesn't have the chutzpah, obviously, of last year from Canada. And point six, what's next for sports? We were kind of kicking that around this morning in our morning meeting. And frankly, nobody really knows. When Phil Pritchard comes on here last week and says, I don't know if I'm taking the cup around to the players this offseason. I don't know. When Gary Bettman says, we're going to play next year, but I don't know when. If they don't know,
I know.
Who knows?
Right.
So let's back up the truck. Back to Tampa Bay winning the Stanley Cup. Was there anybody that you were particularly happy for in that ceremony last night?
It was cool. You know, Steven Stamkos,
sure,
for one. I mean, he's been waiting a long time for that one. So he was probably the first for me. And I always wonder how it feels when you're an impact player like that and a leader and the captain. And if you're not on the ice, does it feel the same? Is it disappointing? But there's no doubt that it felt incredible for Steven Stamkos to win the cup last night.
I was looking really closely for Al Murray, really closely. I couldn't find him, but there was a bunch of guys out there in suits and lanyards. He was one of them. The head scout, which you heard from in the intro there.
Curtis McElhinney's story is pretty cool. 37 years old. I think it was his eighth different team. You know, and it was mentioned, I saw somebody tweet it, and I wish I could remember who, that you don't go around eight teams, 37 years old, if you're not a good guy. For him to get a cup, too, with Tampa's pretty cool. So.
I was noticing, too, I was going through the Tampa Bay Lightning staff list last night. That's what sports nerds like I do. And I saw Stacey Roost.
Whoa.
Is the assistant GM of the Lightning or executive VP to the president or something. Rooster. Remember him with the Medicine Hat Tigers?
Oh, yeah.
Stacey Roost. So, yeah, there's a lot of real happy guys today. Congrats to them. Moving on. So the Blue Jays, you see what's happening, right? Hyun-Jin Ryu is not starting tonight. Are you following this?
A little bit. I
was upset. I really was. I'm reading the articles. Matt Shoemaker starting. He had a bad year. And I'm thinking, I know more than Charlie Montoyo, the manager of the Blue Jays. I was initially thinking that. And then I see Scott Mitchell, good friend of ours. We got to get him on the air, Clark. Scott Mitchell follows the Blue Jays for TSN. And Steve Phillips, the MLB insider for TSN. And they explained that Shoemaker's 4-0 against the Rays. And Charlie Montoyo says, we need to get creative against a team as good as Tampa Bay. Baseball's all about these hard and fast traditions. And the hard and fast tradition, number one, is you start your race for the first game of the playoffs, do you not?
Well, you start your race in the first game of the playoffs so that they could play later in the series if they need to, or they're ready to go early for the next series. The idea of having an ace in the number one spot, it's not about picking matchups. It's about getting them on the mound as often as possible because you need those 3-4 days off in between starts at least. So,
well yeah. I tell you what, I don't like this mentality that I'm hearing a lot from the Again, baseball's not necessarily my thing. I love it, but I haven't lived in it my whole life. But the guys that are saying, it's already a win. Tony Ambrosio saying it. Michael Landsberg said it yesterday on this show. It's a win because they got to the playoffs for this Shapiro-Atkins era. That is a loser's mentality as far as I'm concerned. You don't hear people in hockey and football saying that. I'm sorry. Even if we lose in the playoffs, we're good. Who says that? A loser says that.
Yeah.
So I'm not very happy. It's like there is given game one, it feels like, to the Rays, and we'll take our chances on game two. I just feel like going, rah! Moving on. Can we put up the comment from Don Mitchell, our Navy friend? He's watching from the Middle East. I just want to just splash a little knowledge here. He says the border being closed is a real issue for the Canadian NHL, MLS, the Jays, and Raptors. It doesn't look like it'll be opened anytime soon. It wasn't a problem for the Jays and Raptors because they went to America and played their games out of America. And for the NHL, from what I'm hearing and from my NHL sources, they're following very closely what the NHL or sorry, the NFL is doing, and to a certain extent, MLB. We talked about it last week. You could have a seven-team Canadian division where you don't even need to cross the border. And regional divisions of the South, East, Southwest, Northeast, those divisions, and just stay in your little bubble that way. That's what they're investigating. So I'm not sold on that there's not going to be hockey moving forward into the new year. But it's for them to figure out, not us. We go one day at a time. Any notes on Monday Night Football for you? Because I didn't see any of it, actually, until this morning.
I was watching Stanley Cup from, you know, the opening puck drop until, you know, the cup was long handed out. So, no. But I watched, you know, the highlights, and then I started watching it like you did this morning. And then I saw Colin Cowherd's tweet this morning, and he says, "That's the closest blowout I've ever seen in football ever." And I tend to agree, because it just, as you're watching this, you just never think, you just never feel like Baltimore has a chance at all in the game. Even when it's 20-10, they're only down by, you know, 13 or 10 points and a couple of scores. It just felt out of reach right from the opening kickoff almost. And Patrick Mahomes, he's just got it. And he's
only getting better.
And he's only getting better.
Well, Lamar Jackson had 97 yards passing last night. I saw that. And I didn't see enough of the game to say whether he looked pedestrian or not. However, this is what I like. I did see the pregame show where John Harbaugh was standing on the sidelines being interviewed by the lady that was in the stands. And that's all weird to me, but I get why they have to do it. And she basically said, "You guys don't have anything to prove." And Harbaugh looked at her like, "What?" And he smiled and he goes, "We have something to prove every day. If you don't have something to prove in life, why are we living?"
Yeah.
Did you see that, by the way?
I missed it.
But it's so true. I wish I taped it, but I wanted to turn it into a meme. You need to prove yourself every day. That's what he said. Because if you're not living to prove yourself, what are you living for? John Harbaugh, 2020. And then this morning on ESPN, the guys were saying Lamar Jackson has had the inability. He's displayed the inability to win the big game. He didn't win in the playoffs last year. He didn't win on that big stage last night. So Lamar Jackson's got a lot to prove. He himself, and he is the Baltimore Ravens. Which, by the way, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, I just have to say this. They should be 3-0. And I'm seeing the Cowboys apologists saying, "Well, we're only a game off the lead in the NFC, so we could still win the division." By the way, who says that? Losers! You're not winning a Super Bowl like this by blowing games. So who cares if you win your division with a bad team? You're not going to win it all. And I thought we were ready to win it all. And secondly, the Cowboys defense sags. But I'm watching the game Sunday. I don't know if you saw it. And I'm looking at Dak Prescott, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb playing like Michael Irvin. He's doing the number. Great justice. And who am I forgetting? Lamb, Gallup, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. I'm like, this is a Hall of Fame offense. The defense doesn't even need to be good.
I'm not joking.
The best defense is what?
A good offense.
Boom.
They just have to stay on the field. Just get in the way. That offense is so good. I mean, when your quarterback, the expectation he's going to throw for 400 yards a night, you got no problems putting points up. You got to find a way to keep them off the board.
Producer Clark, that old hound dog, he has no sympathy for me. He writes on the monitor, "And if my aunt had nuts, she'd be my uncle. Falcons are 0-3, but should be 2-1. Same deal." No, the Falcons are junk. The Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. That's the difference here. Moving on to point four, where I feel like we're covering a lot of ground.
Oh, yeah.
CFL's talking about the next commissioner. These are the conversations I've been having over the last 24 hours. It's pretty clear that I'm on Team Ambrosi. It's pretty clear that that team is a small one. And it seems like Team Ambrosi, good ship Ambrosi, is going down. And I'll say this. If the CFL eventually ties a can to Randy Ambrosi, we will provide him the platform to come on and tell his side of the story right here. Deal?
Oh, for sure.
But... this is what they're saying, the people that are paying attention to the CFL right now. He couldn't get him to play in 2020. The Global 2.0 experiment failed, and the GMs have voted against it 7-2. He didn't do a good job in front of the House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance. Boom, boom, boom. And I think I'll have more to say on this later in the week. There's something that doesn't meet the eye to me on all of this. But if you are you into reading tea leaves? Because the tea leaves are saying it's over.
Yeah.
Unless you're seeing something that I'm not. You sat in that chair with Dunk talking to us.
And
like
the more and more that, you know, you hear the narrative, like the writing's on the wall. And, you know, I go back to the finance committee, you know, and his presentation. And sure, he may be a talking head for the owners and the governors and the team presidents and whatnot and be kind of their, you know, their figure. But it's, you know, they're the ones doing all the work and they're the ones that are making all the decisions. Sure. But just personally, it's like if you've got something to do, you've got to go stand in front of the Committee on Finance at the House. There's nobody else responsible for what you have to say than you, right? If you don't feel prepared enough or you don't have the right information, it's your job to make sure you've got it, right? Or that you have answers or that you have information to not look like an idiot. So a lot of it, I guess, you know, the more it happens, the more you realize that it comes back on Randy. You know,
that's the part I hinted at, and I'll say it, that doesn't make sense. I've stood before government on multiple occasions and asked for money for the mental health and substance abuse, the addictions world, and got it. But the very first question they asked the first time, and I didn't have a proposal ready, but they said, what do you need it for and how are you going to spend it? Well, because I know the industry like the back of my hand, I could tap dance on my feet and say, here's our issues. You decide where you're going to put the money because we got a lot of problems in this industry. And the budget comes out and there's $30 million they commit. And I'm like, whoa, this government put their money where their mouth is. If anybody would know CFL business, it's Randy Ambrosi. And we have had coffee sessions together where he said his strengths are business and football. So it doesn't make sense to me that he would stand before the government and not have the answers. That's what's not adding up to me. Fair?
Yeah.
Unless he's not a quick thinker, but you know what? He was a Canadian offensive lineman. That's a prerequisite of that position, thinking on your feet.
You would think
something's not adding up to me, but doesn't matter what I think. But it just seems more than anything, it looks to me that the CFL owners are the biggest reason why they didn't play in 2020, and they're looking for a scapegoat, and they couldn't blame the players, because I was just talking to a player's dad on the weekend, and he said my kid was going to vote to play no matter what the proposal was from the owners. He just wanted to play that bad. So they couldn't point the finger there. Pointing the finger at the government right now looks real bad. So they're pointing it at Ambrosi. That's the sense that I'm getting. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So those are the topics that we'll weave throughout the program today. The poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL Sim League? Boy, are there some scintillating stories emerging in our esports league for the Canadian Football League. Here's your options. BC at Toronto, Hamilton at Montreal, or Saskatchewan at Edmonton? And the last I saw on Twitter, over 70% of the vote was voting for Saskatchewan-Edmonton. What's the Facebook poll? Over 64%. So they're leading. So it looks like Thursday night, 7 p.m., we'll be broadcasting the esports game. Saskatchewan Rough Riders at Edmonton football team. And people have been saying, was there ever a week where the Riders didn't win? Yeah, week 10, Calgary at BC. Very same week, Sask was at Montreal, but the viewers voted for the Stamps and the Lions. So you got about 20 hours if you want to change the result of that to see your team called on this Facebook Live channel. And maybe in the future on Game Plus. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great.
We're going to take a break and the Grim Reaper joins us next from Music City. You are watching the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, this is just absolutely fantastic. Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. It's Block 2, as they like to say. I want to send a special shout-out out to one of our newest sponsors, Wheaton Kia's Greg Gilbertson. He's sponsoring Tory's Tips, our NFL fantasy advice with former Packers and Browns wideout, Tory Gurley, and also John Lynch's Friday appearances. Greg Gilbertson's listing on our live Listen Live feed at rodpeterson.com/listenlive. So shout-out to him. And again, this is a treat. We got the Grim Reaper with us. Thanks for sitting through the break, Stu. He is not in Music City, I understand, which I think today is a good thing. Where are you joining us from, Grimmer?
Secaucus, New Jersey. Scenic and luxurious Secaucus, New Jersey. I'm staring at nothing but sunshine and palm trees right now, Rodney.
Oh, yeah, you're a good liar, Stu. You're a good liar. I've been to New Jersey. I get it. Hey, do you remember that conversation we had? It was the Regina Inn. You were speaking at an event. I was the MC, and you're like, I'm trying to decide between my law career and my broadcasting career. Da, 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 da. What do you think? Seems like you've had a found a way to morph both. Do you have the best of both worlds?
Yeah, I do. I do. And you know what? This is part of the reason why I went back to law school, went to law school after I retired from the game. I wanted to do something that would give me as broad a range of choices in terms of what I did after the game was over. And you know, it turns out that, you know, I'm able to kind of keep one foot in the hockey world and one foot in the legal world. I've struck a great balance, Rod. I really enjoy it. I've been up here actually in Jersey with the NHL Network all September long, covering substantially all of the Stanley Cup playoffs, with the exception of the preliminary and the qualifying rounds. I've had a ball doing it. It's been a great tournament. And then I'm going to return to Nashville tomorrow, and I go back to my other gig. I work as corporate counsel for a company called Third Home, and it's a really bright, exciting young company we have loads of great people, and it's a great concept, and I love doing that. So it's been a wonderful balance. I appreciate you pointing that out.
Yeah, well, good for you. I good things happen to good people, and I'm glad that it's all worked out. So we'll get to some Nashville stuff and everything, but just on the tournament, you mentioned it. I'm sure the NHL was happy it ended last night. They wanted to get out of there, I think. Your thoughts on the way it ended? Worthy champions, I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah, I really am. And I think this was one of those clear-cut cases where, you know, and we're fond of saying this in sport, you know, you can beat a more talented team if you show up and you outwork that really talented team. And I think that's what Dallas really had to do if they were going to prevail in the Stanley Cup Finals. But I'll tell you what, Tampa, and there were just so many different examples of that last night. They're far and away a more talented team. I mean, Dallas just doesn't have an answer for guys like Point and guys like Vasilevsky and guys like Nikita Kucherov. And these guys didn't show up and just rest on their laurels, rest on the fact that they were more talented. They were hungrier. They had learned from the, you know, failed experiences of the past. And they just, you know, showed up for this series prepared to outwork, outbattle, and outplay the Dallas Stars. And Dallas had their moments, without question. But the, you know, clearly this was a Tampa team built well. You know, Brisebois and his operations staff have a lot to be proud of in terms of the group that they assembled and put on the ice. But I'll tell you what, they were a well-oiled machine. And, I think ultimately it's a proud champion that is crowned, and a fitting champion that is crowned. They showed up and put a really serious product on the ice.
Stu Grimson with a 729 NHL games. Flames, Blackhawks, Ducks, Red Wings, Whalers, Hurricanes, Ducks again, Kings, and Predators. One name that was missed, I felt, though. And I'm watching SportsCenter this morning, the Canadian version, and they're talking about Brisebois. You mentioned John Cooper. I never heard Steve Yzerman's name mentioned one time. Yeah. Are his fingerprints not all over this, Grimmer?
Yeah, I think they really are. You know, Stevie's only, what now, 2 years, going on 3 years removed from that club. And essentially, I mean, you could trace the core of that club all the way back to probably, 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're exactly right. And, you know, knowing Steve, and what a class guy he is. I mean, that had to be hard to sit at home and watch that team march on to the kind of success they had in one sense, but in another sense, perhaps, you know, professionally very rewarding if, you know, you understand that, you know, he was substantially the architect of the majority of who's there today, and the development of those folks that are there today, the personnel that's there today. So I would imagine that for Steve watching, it's a you know, it's somewhat of a bittersweet moment. But I will say, you know, on an industry-wide basis, Rod, the, you know, hockey people get that Steve is good at what he does. And I'm talking, you know, of course, post-playing days, set aside his remarkable Hall of Fame career. But Steve's good at what he does. And, you know, he a lot of the responsibility or perhaps, you know, thanks and congratulations ought to fall at his feet for the kind of product that Tampa puts on the ice today and the fact that they're standing up there with the holy grail of hockey positioned over their heads.
For sure. Well, Stevie Y, left on his own, as you know, sat out a year to go to Detroit after making that decision. So, yeah, he built it. Probably felt more pride than regret or anything like that. Stu, before we go on to Nashville, I want to say this. The other Friday, I don't know how it came up the other day, I was talking with the Estevan Bruins guys, and they said, best sports dinner we've ever had. And consider this. They've had through there Raymond Bork, Marty McSorley, a lot of CFL guys. Al May, who's as classy as they get. They said, was you guys, Reed Simpson, Jim McKenzie, Stu Grimson, and were you guys just abused each other? It was like bullying at its worst what you guys said to each other on that stage. And then they played video fighting videos like all night long. I'm like, please, please. They couldn't get enough. They said the only complaint was Rod, you ended the night too soon. I said, it was a Thursday. Doesn't anybody work in Esteban? Wasn't that a fun night?
We had a ball. I'll tell you, it is the greatest thing to get these guys together. And the funny part is, you know, we go in and we tell a lot of the stories we've been telling for years, but you do such a fabulous job of hosting it, Rod, and you steer us in these different directions. So that, you know, we're reminded of new stories, stuff we hadn't discussed before. And that kind of stuff gets us going. You know, it really brings out, I think, the emotions in Reed and Mac and I. But it is a lot of fun. And you know, I think the point really needs to be made. I mean, hockey for me is this, you know, life is stranger than fiction kind of an enterprise. These stories, folks don't believe it, but they actually happen. And we laugh at the stories every time we tell them. But they are some of the strangest, some of the most bizarre. And I'll tell you, if I can just tease your audience in some way, the whole thought of Bob Probert and Reed Simpson in the shower together acting up in the way that they did, right. You know, I probably shouldn't say any more than that.
Well, I want to say this to you, Derek, because Grimmer talked about his whole side of his face getting caved in by Dave Brown and all the surgery he had to get. And Stu said, look at the lovely job that they did. And Jim McKenzie said, and they took the bolts out of your neck, too. And like, how many times has he used that joke on you, Grimmer? And it's funny every time.
You know, I'm always so grateful to show up at an event like that and be with Jimmy McKenzie for this reason. When I'm near Jim McKenzie, my head, big as it is, actually looks proportionate for the size of my body. His is enormous. Have you seen the size of this cranium?
Of course. Oh, my, they don't make hats big enough for that guy.
That's right.
And you both live in Nashville. Which you said you're going to be headed back there. So a big outbreak with the Titans. They've cleared the facility today. I don't think anybody thought we were going to get through an NFL season without this happening. It's taken until week four, and it's in your town. What's life like in Nashville in these pandemic times?
You know, it's a really precarious time. It really is. I mean, I think as a state, we have been somewhat lax in our response. I really wish we had had leadership that once we got a clear sense of, you know, one, the kind of communication rate that this disease has, this virus has, and the fact that there is a much higher incidence as compared to the flu, a much higher incidence of fatality. Once that was relatively clear to us, I wish we had taken as a state, and certainly Davidson County, where Nashville sits, a much stronger stance, because I think we're still kind of suffering from deal affects today. And, you know, it's difficult. It really has been a difficult situation, made more problematic in Nashville because, you know, the economy, not that it's solely based on, there's a wide range of different economic activities going on in greater Nashville and Tennessee, for to be clear, but it's these bars downtown and it's the honky tonk that are, for local residents and citizens, it's a good part of the lifeblood there. And I know folks are anxious to have things open up, but really when they are open, and people are free to kind of flow inside, listen to live music, be in close confines together, they really are, even at this late stage, they are a super spreader. And it's, you know, it's at least part of the reason we're in the situation that we're in today in Nashville. So I don't have all the answers, but, you know, we're looking for leadership from folks that have not all, but most of the answers.
Mm-hmm, for sure. The scientists, as they say, and the doctors. Stu, why did you settle in Nashville, by the way? The last time I was there, I just missed you. You were going to see Caucus, actually. But the people I talked to in Nashville, Uber drivers and such, they were like, I like this city better when it was sleepy and quiet. It's bustling. It's the fastest growing city in America. It's not quiet and sleepy anymore. Is that why you moved there? I mean, you've seen the growth, right?
Yeah, I have. I arrived in 2001. The reason my family ever got there was I signed as a free agent with the Nashville Predators, having been a Los Angeles King the year before. So ended up in Nashville, fell in love with the town. But really back then in 2001, Rod, it was a well-kept secret. It was, a smallish, little southern town. Somewhat metropolitan compared to some other southern cities nearby, but still a pretty small town. But the people were great. The cost of living was great. The weather was terrific and still is. All those things are still true, but it's no longer a well-kept secret anymore. I love the fact that it's bustling. I've always been kind of a city guy, so I really enjoy that. But folks that have been there for most of their lives, traffic, the cost of living, and the fact that, you know, we are really almost on a year-round basis inundated with tourists these days, it tends to hack the locals off. You know, some folks are a little disenchanted with it all.
I got that sense, yes. But yeah. Still a wonderful town, beautiful architecture. Oh, love Nashville, very much recommended. Hey, lastly, we only got 3 minutes, and you're a TV guy. You understand how long that is, Grimmer. Your book and my book are side by side at Chapters. All across this land. I'm so proud of that. You're on top, by the way. What have you learned being an author? How's it changed your life here in the last year?
Hey, that's a great question. I really appreciate you asking that. I wrote this book, and here's the thing. I was a guy, I had a bunch of people in my ear for a long, long time telling me I needed to write a book. I had a hard time getting my head around that. Ultimately, what tipped me over was folks convinced me, you know, the story is a really interesting one. And there are lessons that you've learned along the way. Those may have value for other people. And you know what, Rod? That has come back to me since I wrote this book. I have had people in all walks of life who come back to me and kind of send me these encouraging words. And they say that the experience you had in Carolina, for instance, where you kind of overplayed your hand, you kind of managed your career in a way that, you know, probably was just ill-advised at the time. I've had people come back to me and say, that really spoke to me. It has application, although I work in a completely different, you know, industry from yours. So the fact that other people can take something from that other than just these crazy, interesting, sometimes hilarious hockey stories has been extremely encouraging for me. That's probably the key lesson I have learned.
Cool. It's awesome. It is a fantastic book. Grimmer, as always, fantastic chat. Appreciate it. Safe travels back home, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Always good to be with you, Rod. Thanks for having me.
The great Stu Grimson joining us from Secaucus, New Jersey. Doesn't it just sound beautiful?
No.
It ain't. It's just gray, I believe, all the time. But Grimmer spruces it up. We got a sports update coming up. We'll talk about the poll question and all these other topics on the table today. You're watching the RP Show. We're across North America and over a million homes on Game Plus TV Network. And you're listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Lots going on this Tuesday, Canada's daytime sports talk show. We covered our thoughts, or at least mine, on the Blue Jays, and we got yours too. I'll be watching tonight, pitch by pitch by pitch. But our slow pitch league opens tonight too.
That's at 6:30.
Yeah, who's our victims tonight, Clark? Do you know who's losing to us? It's the season opener. He's looking it up. But at Ballers Rec Room, we know that we'll have on all the big screens the Blue Jays Tampa game one. So maybe we should get down there early.
That's a good idea.
All kinds of comments coming in today. Katie Fleury says, I guess I'm going book shopping Friday. From Rick Haglund, awesome guest. Book name again? He says book names again. Here's a 2-for-1 deal. Go down to your local Indigo Chapters. Just search Grim Reaper. You can remember that, right? That's Stu Grimson's book, The Grim Reaper. And then on the shelf right below his is mine. My third book entitled Heart and Soul of the SJHL, A 50-Year History, with a special commemorative section to the Humboldt Broncos. So pick them both up, because what else do you have to do in these pandemic times?
Read.
Read. Expand your horizons. Point four of our quick six show topics way back at the start was Justin Dunk's report that the CFL is already moving towards its next commissioner, longtime NFL and NBA executive Ken Darrett, an Ontario product. And that's really resonated with our viewers. Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta writes in and he says the CFL, oh, this is about something else. He says the CFL Players Association sent a nice letter to Dwayne Mendruziak and numerous comments on social media. Did we ever get a comment from the Edmonton executive, Chris Preston, or Janice Agrios? No, you're not hearing much from those folks these days, if you've noticed.
Yeah, no.
Ken in Saskatoon, you are not alone on Team Ambrosi, Rod. How many commissioners has the CFL had recently? The longevity in the position does not seem to be there. Have the owners been trotting out people just to remove them when they do not support their old way of thinking? That's Ken in Saskatoon, and I'll just leave that as a rhetorical question.
Probably for the best.
From Leonard, from the 536. Holy smokes, Batman. You mean our CFL commissioner is gone because he failed the COVID-19 response, Rod? Don't shoot the messenger! It was Dunk that reported it yesterday. Okay? Moving on to a sports update. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the 2020 Stanley Cup champions, defeating the Dallas Stars 2-0 to capture the NHL's top trophy in front of empty seats, sprawling tarps, and no fans at Edmonton's Rogers Place. Braden Point and Blake Coleman scored the goals, and Andre Vasilevsky stopped 22 shots to take the series in 6 games. It's Tampa's second franchise cup. The Lightning also won it in 2004. Patrick Mahomes outperformed Lamar Jackson, and the Kansas City Chiefs deftly played the role of defending Super Bowl champions in a 34-20 thumping of the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football. The Houston Texans will have up to 13,000 fans at NRG Stadium for their game Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. The move comes after the Texans played without fans in their home opener on September 20th. The underdog Blue Jays are hoping to surprise the top seed at Tampa Bay Rays in their upcoming wild card series. Manager Charlie Montoyo says he'll start Matt Shoemaker in game one and send ace Hyun-Jin Ryu to the mound for game two at the Trop. Taiwan Walker will start if there's a game three. And Canada will renew soccer hostilities with the Americans at the 2021 Gold Cup in July in a group that also features Martinique and a preliminary round qualifier. The North American rivals were placed in Group B at the tournament draw held in Miami. The Gold Cup series serves as the championship for North and Central America and the Caribbean. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. We'll be out there smashing them tonight out of the park in our slow pitch league, sponsored by Great Western. 6:30. Do we know who we're beating yet? Oh, boy. Their name is Swinging Wood, says Clark.
Oh, Ricky wrote it in there. Rod Show versus Swinging Wind. I didn't understand the message, Ricky, until you said now it's all connected.
Rod Show versus Swinging Wood.
I thought you were choosing between actually like chopping wood or watching the show, but that's who we're playing tonight.
Chopping wood. Just keep chopping wood. Chris Jones line.
Oh, yeah.
What are we wearing tonight for unis? Do we know? RP Show bunny hugs, golf shirts, t-shirts, what? Clark's thinking we go as the Skins tonight. And also that sports update for Red Bull Canada. Red Bull gives you wings. I feel like I'm just offending everybody these days. I put on my, somebody with the Edmonton football team sent me photos. You might have seen it on my Instagram story or Facebook of their locker room facilities with all the Eskimo paraphernalia. And it said over the door, once an Eskimo, always an Eskimo. And there are more photos that I did, that I put. Bone, hashtag bone. Brotherhood of Nasty Eskimos. They're getting all these things out of the way, and it's moving on. And somebody wrote me on my Instagram story, a follower, and he says, good, gone, deservedly so. And I just let it go. But I'm like, I know that you're a Blackhawks fan. Says the Blackhawks fan. And I know that Chicago, the NHL teams, come out and said, we're not changing our name. I don't know what the reason is. But look at the logo, which incidentally, I love. I'm not offended. I'm very hard to offend. Very hard to offend. But just everybody standing back and pointing the finger. Hey, nee, 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 nee. It is wild.
It is wild. And those who take satisfaction in other people having things taken away from them or other people's pain, That doesn't fly with me very well. I mean, the people who point the finger, na 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 na. It's like, you know, they're not football people. They're not, you know, people who are being offended, but they're offended for other people. But they just want to see other people brought down. You know, you see that all too often in the cancel culture, and that's the part I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the canceling of things that are racist or evolving, but it's people who take joy in the cancel culture. That I got a problem with.
There's a big group of them.
There's a big group of them that they take joy in bringing other people down.
Back on the CFL topic, Nelson, our VP of Sim Events, writes in, and the newest employee of Doug Flutie's Maximum Football. He writes in, that's the thing. I don't remember an NHL commissioner other than Gary Bettman. He's been in that role since 93. Meanwhile, the CFL is on number 8 or 9 in that time frame. Interesting. Eskimo fan Rose writes in, oh my guys, thank you. Thank you for what? Oh, sticking up for the name Eskimos, I guess. Ooh. I don't know. The CFL has a credibility problem. I think we can all agree on that. And I've been saying that for quite some time. And you can't put that at the feet of the players and coaches, I don't think. And they are the product. The product is tremendous. Tremendous. We've said it a million times. You're nodding your head like a bobblehead. You agree. But so we've had all this revolving door of commissioners just since my time. I came into the league in 1999. The commissioner was Jeff Giles. He got smoked for Michael Lisko. He got torched for Tom Wright. He got shown the door for Mark Cohan. I'm hearing more and more now that Cohan got shown the door in favor of Jeffrey Orridge. We knew how that went. And now Randy Ambrosi looks like he's going to be gone. But that's 6 in a 20-year span when the NFL's had Roger Goodell since the 90s, right? Before that, Tagliabue. Major League Baseball hasn't had that many. Bart Giamatti, Bud Selig, and then Rob Manfred now. But it's rare. CFL's had 4 logos, I think, in their time. Like Kim Murphy was on here, the referee, and he said, I've worn 4 logos. He said it very proudly. Or maybe it's 3 logos, whatever. What do you remember for the NFL? The shield. What do you remember for Major League Baseball? The silhouette.
That's it.
They don't change their logos. So anyways, if they fire a commissioner now and hire a new one, and they're trying to attract national sponsors and make it look like they're a stable organization, this does not scream stability.
No. Even the NHL, there's a difference between evolving, growing, and just completely flip-flopping from side to side. You look at the NHL, their logo's evolved, right?
They went
from white to a little bit of a shinier silver on the NHL, but the logo has not changed. Tweaked, improved, grown, evolved. That's the difference.
Viewer takeover next, and I have a feeling it's going to get spicy. It's the RP Show, and you're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hi. Welcome back for the viewer takeover segment. It's going to be smaller than normal because we went long on the last segment. We do call it viewer takeover, so let's get to the comments. Would you guys mind putting these up? Jack in Alberta says, if the CFL doesn't realize that they are responsible for the hemorrhaging, they won't stop bleeding out. Randy Ambrosi is being used as a flak jacket for the CFL. That's from Jack in Alberta. Donald Mitchell in the Middle East watching. He says, the U.S. has always outshone Canada when it comes to building a brand, and that's fine. They're 10 times our size. But maybe we should get over our inferiority complex and be proud of ourselves and what we do instead of always looking for validation from south of the border. They couldn't care less about us anyways. That's the truth. What I like the best about south of the border is the weather. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, I love Canada. It just gets cold. They don't like cold. Bob in Grand Prairie, one more from him. He says, regarding changing the logos, don't mess with history. That's how history was made. And history was written by the winners.
Always.
From the 716, anonymous texter says, Rod, has the CFL created a huge problem for themselves by not playing this year? It seems to me Ambrosi created a huge divide between the Players Association and the TV provider not getting things rolling. How is that on Randy? And I can tell you what, I can sit here all day and defend Randy. Paul was sitting here. And I said, you've known me long enough, and the people that have known me long enough know. Once I'm on your side, I'm on your side. I'm not leaving. I'm jumping in the foxhole. I'm staying there. I'm not bailing.
Right.
And Paul said, not everybody's like that. I'm like, oh, believe me, I know. I know not everybody's like that. You are like me.
Yep.
You're in there.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing with Randy Ambrosi is, I know, who am I supposed to support here? Because I'm supposed to be on board with the league, which means you're on board with the commissioner. I know that 97% of the people in the league office would walk through fire for the guy. But now the owners want to get rid of him, so we're not supposed to support him? I don't understand. That's why I'm over here on the Rod Peterson Show doing my own thing. It's our own team, and you guys all sort it out. It was a little like the battle between Orridge and Chris Jones. It's pretty clear whose team I jumped on. Chris Jones, right? And I was just dummying Jeffrey Orridge, the commissioner, on behalf of Chris Jones. And I'm getting called into meetings by my bosses going, no, no, you need to get along with Orridge. But your coach isn't. What am I supposed to do here? And I'm a little here now, but my job doesn't depend on it. It's just, whose side are you going to be on? And by the way, you pick a side, and eventually you're going to go down.
Hey,
right?
You commit and you go in, you jump in with both feet, and you know, who are you working with on a daily basis?
No, we'll continue this into hour two because we don't have enough time. But from Brady in Saskatoon, he says, hey, Rod, Lamar has been defeated by Mahomes once again. I love the fact the Ravens are rated higher than the Seahawks in ESPN's NFL power rankings, even though the Seahawks are 3-0 and the Ravens are 2-1. Disrespect. Stop it with your disrespect.
And
just go out and play every week, okay?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the rankings. That gets me annoying.
Rankings and standings, not the same thing.
Oh, believe me, though, the teams go just Looney Tunes.
Yes.
When they see the power rankings and they're not high enough. We're going to have to read these next hour. And also coming up, Hayden and Cale Fleury, Hayden of the Carolina Hurricanes, Cale Fleury of the Montreal Canadiens. We're going to do a 3-1 interview. And what else? Jim Lang to talk Blue Jays. Put some respect on Toronto. Game one tonight at Tampa Bay, we're all going to be watching. Thanks to Stu Grimson. Again, get his book, The Grim Reaper. And while you're at it, pick up mine, The Heart and Soul of the SJHL. And that is it. We'll see you Facebook Live only for hour two. For the rest of you, we'll see you all tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Game Plus. Let's make some noise!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.